Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, welcome to FOS Sunday at Pleasant Valley. This is a Sunday that is all about the amazing grace of God. Speaking of grace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We're in week 14 as we're walking through the book of Ephesians verse by verse. And last week, we looked at two verses all about the amazing grace of God. For you, the Bible says, are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. So this text teaches two things. Number one, we are not saved by our good works, verse 9. And secondly, there's nothing we can do to help save ourselves, verse 8. Living a clean life won't save us. Getting sober won't save us. Giving money to the poor won't save us. Joining a church won't save us. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much work we do, we cannot atone for our sins. Jesus already did that. He did a very good job of it. The work of Jesus on the cross was sufficient. It is why Christ died and he said, "It is finished." Jesus has done all the work that needs to be done for us to be saved. All we must do is receive it by faith. That's what the Bible teaches in verse number 8. You are saved by grace through faith. Grace is the foundation of our salvation. Faith is the channel through which we receive it. Grace is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God does not save those who help themselves. God saves those who cannot help themselves. Nobody's going to be in heaven talking about what we did to get there. The only reason anybody will be in heaven is because God got them there by his grace and his grace alone. Our salvation cost Jesus his life, but it cost us absolutely nothing. It's totally free. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. It's free. But two common objections to this teaching about the free, radical grace of God. We'll do one brief objection today and then the second one next Sunday. Here's the first objection to the radical grace of God. Well, if we are not saved by works, but grace alone, doesn't that mean then it's okay for us to continue to live in sin? I mean, if God's going to forgive us anyway, it sounds like, does it really matter then how we live? Paul anticipates that objection from the religious type. And so back in Romans 6, he addresses it. Flip there quickly, Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? He's just given the last three chapters to speaking about the free grace of God, not works, grace alone, saved by faith alone. It's the whole point of Romans 1 through 6. And so now he anticipates an objection. Paul, that sounds too good to be true. What shall we say then to all this grace? Are we to continue in sin? That grace may abound. Parents, should we encourage our kids to steal more cookies out of the cookie jar so we'll have more opportunities to show them grace? All the kids said, sounds like an amazing idea. Is it not that big of a deal, Christian, to gossip, to envy, to be jealous, to have bitterness? Is it not that big of a deal when we drink too much? Is it not that big of a deal to look at a little porn? Is it not that big of a deal, kids, to disobey your parents? Is it not that big of a deal to take advantage of people in business, to rob God of our tithes and offerings, to flirt with the person that even though we're married, it's not that big of a deal to sin, right? Isn't God going to forgive us anyway? Doesn't that give God a chance to show off his free grace? Verse 2, by no means. It can literally be translated, may it never be. Other translators have said, God forbid. Or as we would say back in Katy's Kentucky, heck no. We don't continue in sin so that God can just give us more grace. No, verse 2, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, heck no, may it never be. Why? How can we, Christian, who died to sin, still live in it? Here's Paul's argument. Once you become a Christian, it's not simply that we should not continue living in sin. We cannot continue living in sin because we have died to our sin, the text says. When Jesus died on the cross, the old us, in a real way, died with him. And therefore, we cannot live how we used to live because we are not who we used to be. Well, who are we now then in Christ? Back to our text today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Now, this is today's text and next Sunday's as well. For we are his, that's God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Look at that word created in verse 10. We are God's workmanship. God created us in Christ. That's conversion. That's regeneration. That's the new birth. God recreated us. He brought us from death to life in Jesus for good works. So when we are saved at that moment, God creates us into a new person in Jesus. In Christ, we are not who we used to be. We're new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a what? A new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So child of God, listen. We ain't perfect. But we are not who we used to be. We have been made new by the blood of Jesus. God says now we are righteous in Christ. We are a new creation in Jesus. We are saints in Christ. And saints don't take advantage of God's grace as an excuse to sin. One more verse. And then we're going to hear some amazing testimonies of God's grace that are going to be the proof that these texts are true. Verse 6, back in Romans 6, we know that our old self, believer, our old self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. When Paul says that our old body of sin, believer, has been brought to nothing, he doesn't mean that our sin nature has been completely destroyed, but he means our sin nature has been deeply wounded and deprived of its power. In other words, Christian, sin no longer has control over the person who is in Christ. As my mentor, the late beloved Pastor Ted Crispin used to say, sin is still resident in the life of a believer, but it's no longer president. If we're in Christ, sin is still on our team, but it's no longer the quarterback. It sits on the bench and gets in as much as it can. Sin, for the believer, is still showing at the romp fest, but it's playing the 4 p.m. slot on Thursday afternoon. It's no longer Winona, the headliner on Saturday night. If we are still in Christ, sin, it's still on the menu of our life, but it's no longer the main dish. If you're a Christian, sin is still in your car, but it's no longer in the driver's seat. It's been moved to the trunk. Now, we still got a lot of junk in the trunk, amen? But that sin nature that used to control us and drive us is no longer in control. It's been wounded by the power of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are not from a biblical perspective, if you've learned anything in Ephesians, here's what we've learned. We are not simply, oh, dirty, rotten sinners saved by grace. We are new creatures in Jesus. And so listen, so we don't live how we used to live because we're not who we used to be. We are no longer slaves to sin. We've been set free by Jesus, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. See, God's grace does not just forgive us of our sin. God's grace gives us the power to overcome our sin. From head to toe, from inside out, the grace of God changes us. How do you know if you've encountered God's grace? Have you been changed? Because the grace of God will do many things to us, but something it will not do is leave us the same. And this is what I love about Friends of Sinners ministry. It's a ministry that since 2009 has been displaying the power of God to change lives from the inside out. And today in this service and in the next service, we want to honor God's amazing work at FOS and give glory to God as we highlight His radical resurrecting grace. One of the great joys of this church, and has been for 15 years now since the inception of FOS, is to stand alongside and love and do everything we can to support this amazing ministry. There are a few things that warm my heart more every Sunday morning than to look out up over this congregation and see the men and the women and the families of FOS. It brings me so much joy. And so on behalf of all of us at Pleasant Valley, to our FOS family, we want you to know that we love you and you are a part of this family. And I can't imagine this church family without you. So PVCC, would you join me into showing our love and affection for this amazing ministry? Bless them. Amen. So in just a moment, FOS Executive Director Jordan Wilson is going to come share, and then you're going to hear a number of testimonies. Before Jordan comes up, here's another testimony of grace from one of the FOS alumni that is plugged in here at PVCC.
Thank you. Good morning, church family. My name is Jordan Wilson, and I have the honor as serving as the executive director of Friends of Sinners, which most of you may know, we are a Christ-centered residential substance abuse recovery program right here in Owensboro. But this morning, I'm not just here as a director of ministry. I am here as a living testimony to the grace and power of Jesus Christ. I am here to tell you that dead people are coming to life again. Prodigal sons and daughters are coming home, and it's happening every single day through the ministry of Friends of Sinners in Jesus Christ. Yeah, praise God. Now, I would like to ask this body of believers a very hard question. What is the church supposed to do when the addict knocks on your door? What do we do when the man who has burned every bridge, stolen from his own mama, lost his kids, and ruined his life, walks into church trembling, high, and hopeless? What about the young woman? Fresh out of jail, her arms scarred from the life she barely survived. Well, I believe I can speak for all true followers of Jesus, and certainly for those of Friends of Sinners, we will never turn them away. We will say, come in. You are not too far gone. You are exactly who Jesus came for. Friends of Sinners is a safe haven for the broken, the addicted, the incarcerated, and the desperate. And what makes us different is that we don't just focus on sobriety. We focus on salvation. We don't teach recovery apart from the gospel. We teach recovery through the gospel. We have seen countless men and women come into our program after doing time in prison or being strung out on the streets. They've shown up angry, hardened, with no trust for anyone, but after a short while of living with us, these individuals break under the weight of true love and grace. Our clients are not just getting sober, they are becoming saved. And that's the power of God through Friends of Sinners. But church, let me be honest with you, this work that we do is hard. We house nearly 50 men and women across two campuses. We provide structure, accountability, biblical counseling, job training, parenting class, church fellowship, and more. Many of our residents arrive with absolutely nothing but the clothes on their back, no insurance. Yeah, praise the Lord. No family support, no place to call home. And yet we feed them, clothe them, disciple them, and walk with them every day. Because Jesus didn't ask us to love people who are worthy of it. He said, whatever you do for the least of these, you did for me. You might be wondering, well, what does it take to keep the mission going? Well, it costs approximately $500,000 annually for FOS to operate. Okay, well, what does that take? It takes churches like Pleasant Valley. It takes people like you who are willing to say, we're not just praying for the lost, we're pursuing them. We don't receive state funding. We rely on God's people to partner with us financially so we can keep the lights on, keep the beds full, and keep preaching Jesus to the addicted and the hopeless. And today I'm asking, will you help us continue this fight? I'm not asking you to give out of guilt. I'm asking you to give because this is good soil. This is good ground. There are still sons and daughters who need to come home. There are still mamas who are praying every night for their addicted children. There are still graves that the enemy has dug, but God has called these people to live, and we are determined to pull them out of the grave in Jesus' name. Now, you are about to witness some of our current clients who have transitioned from death to life, who have become new creations in Christ Jesus. Please make welcome our first client.
My name is Courtney. I'm a child of God, set free by God's love and grace. I was born into a family where drugs, domestic violence, and neglect was part of everyday life. I was just taught to keep quiet and not talk about it. As far back as I can remember, I was drinking and smoking with my brother. And by the time I was 13, I was experimenting with drugs. And by the time I was 16, I had found my drug of choice. I spent most of my life chasing a high and finding my worth in men. But the day I gave birth to my son was the first time I felt joy and love. I had two daughters shortly after, and I tried to give my kids the life I never had, but still struggled with addiction and domestic violence. I felt trapped like there was no escape from the vicious cycle of drugs and violence. Eventually, I found myself so lost and broken. I left my kids with their grandmother and ended up in jail soon after, facing a number of serious charges. Ephesians 2:4-5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. While I was in jail, friends of sinners came to see me and offered me a bed in their program. I was hesitant because I didn't feel worthy of God's love. Psalms 107:13-14. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. The day I came to Friends of Sinners, God saved me from the darkness and broke away my chains. I came to Friends of Sinners lost, broke, and broken. But today I am full of joy and peace. I can proudly say that I'm loved, I'm chosen, I am worthy, but most of all, I'm the daughter of the Most High King.
Hello, PVCC. My name's Jesse Sullivan. I'm also at Friends of Sinners. I stepped out of prison to Friends of Sinners after being incarcerated for 2.5 years. Sorry, not used to the microphone. when I was incarcerated, I wasn't following God really for a little over 2 years. I was just running around doing what I was doing. And they have a Christian app called Pando in prison. Well, I'm on there and I watch this place out of Tyler, Texas, and I'm watching, and who do I see on there? Jordan Wilson giving his testimony. I'm like, man, that's crazy. I'm from Owensboro. He's from Owensboro. What's he doing in Texas? The next day, I see him with my favorite Christian rapper, ASAP Preach, giving a testimony. I'm like, man, that's 2 days in a row. The third day, I go to the library, look at a newspaper, Jordan Wilson, Friends of Sinners, front page. So, all right, God, I see you. In prison, I was a prison minister. I was in prison ministry for 8 months. I went to a residence encounter of Christ, which is kind of like an Emmaus walk. I had no plan or desire to get saved, be saved. They had free food from the streets. So I go there radically changed and transformed by God's overpowering love that these people had for me. When a person that was as broken as I was didn't know that they could even be loved. You know, so I get changed. I get baptized on October 5th. I start preaching on October 20th, prison ministry from RCC to Bell County Forestry Camp. Reached out to Dave Cox, trying to get to Friends of Sinners. I was going to get paroled out, had no idea what I was going to do, but I did not want to go back to the streets. And this place has been such a true blessing to me. I've 59 days out of prison. These clothes, like they were talking about in the song earlier, that God will provide. Everything that I have, God provided for me. I literally stepped into Friends of Sinners wearing the clothes on my back. They fed me, they loved me, they blessed me, they have helped me along this walk so very much, and I'll forever be eternally grateful for what these people have done for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. So my name's Jessica, and this is my story. I would like to begin with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony. I pray that my words may be a source of encouragement and hope for those who hear them. I ask that you would guide my words and help me to speak with honesty, vulnerability, and grace. May your presence be felt in this moment, and may my story be a reflection of your love and faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I reflect on my faith journey, one Bible verse that has always stood out to me is Romans 8:31. Says that, what then shall we do to these things? If God is for us, who shall be against us? This verse has been a source of encouragement and strength for me as I've navigated the challenges and struggles of life. It reminds me that no matter what I may face, I can trust in God's love and faithfulness and know that he is always on my side. My life didn't go as planned from a young age. I faced a number of challenges that I never expected to encounter. At 13 years old, I found myself struggling with my first addiction, men. I was searching for love and validation in all the wrong places, and it led me down a path of heartache and emptiness. It wasn't until I turned to God that I found the true love and acceptance I had been searching for all along. As time went on, my addiction to men evolved into something darker. I began to see men as a means to an end, using my knowledge and power over them to get what I wanted. I was trapped in a cycle of manipulation and deceit, and I felt lost and empty inside. It wasn't until I encouraged God's love and forgiveness that I was able to break free from this destructive pattern and find the true fulfillment and purpose in my life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, Psalms 23:4. I'm grateful to God for delivering me from the evils of my past. Through his mercy and grace, I have been freed from the bonds of addiction and destructive behavior. I am also blessed to say that my newfound love for God and life has been made possible by the amazing staff at Friends of Sinners Treatment Program. Their dedication and support have played a crucial role in my journey towards healing and recovery. I'm very thankful for the way God has transformed my life and given me a second chance. I look forward to continuing my journey with him and to sharing my story with others who may be struggling with similar challenges. So in closing, I want to speak directly to anyone who may be struggling with addiction. Please don't wait or fight it any longer. You too can experience the healing and transformation that I have found through God's love and the support of the Friends of Sinners Treatment Program. It's so much more than just a treatment program. It's a family, a home that many of us have never known. So I encourage you to reach out to Friends of Sinners. There is help available, and there is plenty of hope for healing and recovery. Just know that if you, hold on. Just know that you are not alone. My prayer is that you will find the strength and courage to seek the help you need and very much deserve, so you too can also experience the same freedom and joy and many new blessings that I have found in my new journey with God. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, and now today I can stand before you and say, hello, my name is Jessica. I am a firm follower and believer in Jesus Christ. I am in recovery for my addictions, and today I truly do not struggle. Now my final words of prayer, dear God, thank you for the powerful work of transformation you have done in my life. I pray that my testimony may be a source of encouragement and hope for others who are struggling with addiction. May they find the strength and courage to seek help, and may they experience the same healing and freedom that I have found. Lord, I also pray for the staff of Friends of Sinners. May they continue to be instruments of your love and mercy, helping those in need to find healing and restoration. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And now with this I pass, to be continued, ..
Hello, my name's Michael Taylor, 52-year-old, small-town native. Just like a lot of people here with Friends of Sinners, God completely wrecked my life. My home, my family was destroyed, separated, not much to live for. I was stayed in a little 8x10 shack, no water, no electric, no plumbing. And then I found jail. And that's where God came into my life, in jail. I know you hear of jailhouse ministry and all that. That's where it started for me. I went from jail to prison. I stayed in the Word. Went to Bible studies with a lot of guys and prayed with a lot of guys. And lo and behold, I was taken right out of Bible study from prison and brought to Friends of Sinners. And at Friends of Sinners, I found hope, friendship, discipleship, good leadership. A lot of people, Zach Farmer, Tom Galloway, Miss Horlander, who kept in touch with me the whole time I was in jail. Letters that meant everything, the only letters I got. Since then, God's completely restored my life. I'm about to have an apartment. My kids are coming back home. My kids are here today at church celebrating God's glory with me. God's been completely on my side. I'm back at the school where my life led off from. I started down the road of addiction when I left school. Today, life's great. Every day looks brighter than the next one. One thing about my life, I have hope today. I have the love and my family, and the Lord has changed my life. This place has. Thank you.
This is my story. So my life has been everything but easy. I was raised in church. My dad and I would go to church every Sunday until I was 4 years old. My dad relapsed in his addiction when his mom passed away. My mom and dad split up. For the next 4 years of my life, we moved a lot. So I really lost faith in God. It was struggle after struggle. I really started questioning God. At the age of 13, I stepped foot in addiction for the first time. At this time, my mom was more like a friend than a mother figure. I was walking the road with the devil. I was put into foster care at the age of 14. I started going to church and Bible studies again. I had my first spiritual awakening. I thought I had my addiction behind me. So I continued going to church and walking in my faith. I had full faith in God. He brought me back to my hometown, let me meet wonderful people and so much more. At the age of 19, my mom's mom passed away. I fell back into my addiction hard. My husband and I started fighting. God was and still is testing my faith. I let the devil get over me again. I ran from 3 rehabs. I started using again. I finally turned to God and prayed to him about my next move. I came to Friends of Sinners open-minded. Since being at Friends of Sinners, God has really opened my eyes. To wrap this up, I want to go to God's word. Luke 15 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep till he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So will everybody go with me in a moment of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with humbled hearts, Lord. I pray for this church and everyone in it. I pray if anyone is lost like the sheep in this story, they let you pack them home, Lord. I pray for healing and comfort for anyone going through something in this room. I pray for my sisters at Friends of Sinners that you keep working in their life, Lord, in your holy and righteous name, and everyone says amen. So hi, my name's Brianna and this is my story.
Good morning, everyone. My name is James Reynolds, and I am a new creation. Yeah. Okay, so to get straight to it, I found God in 2015 on a 6-year sentence in prison. I spent most of my time in prison walking the loop, all my free time anyways, walking the loop and talking to God as if he were a friend. I was paroled in 2018, and God gave me everything I asked for. He gave me the car, the apartment, the job. Everything just fell into place, man. As time went on and life happened, and I just found myself pushing the Bible further and further and further away. Shortly after, I wasn't reading it at all. And, man, I lost everything. I lost my car. I lost the job. I lost my parole. I lost my peace of mind. Most importantly, I lost my relationship with God. I landed myself in Davis County Detention Center January 16th, 2025, this year. When I got put in there, I went straight to my knees, and I begged for God's forgiveness for abandoning him, and as I knew he never will me. My father, shortly time after, man, my father, he had a massive heart attack. He was put on a ventilator, and I went to God in prayer, man. I wrote a prayer out for Luke 11:9. It says, "Seek and you shall find; asking you will receive; and knocking he will open the door to you." I placed this prayer that I wrote in that Bible, and the prayer read like this: "It said, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, please don't let it end like this, man. Just let me see my dad again alive through sober eyes and on the right track. I beg of you, Lord." Rip my fiance from the chaos of addiction. She was out there in addiction. Please, Lord, help me to be the man, a godly man, that I need to be for my family and for your kingdom. In your precious, heavenly, holy name, I pray, amen. I put this in the Bible, and, my father, he passed March 13th, and 4 hours before he passed, they took me up front, and they put $12 in my books, and I was able to see my father on video chat. It wasn't exactly like I wanted, but it's exactly what I asked God for. I got to see him through sober eyes on the right track. A month after that, man, my fiance, she got hit with a bogus warrant. She was lodged in Davis County Detention Center. Again, exactly what I prayed for. They ripped her out of the addiction. She is now at the Lighthouse doing well, building her own relationship with God, and as we are putting him at the center of our relationship. Let's see. I asked him to make me a godly man for his kingdom and for my family, and I'm here at FOS, and that's exactly what he's doing. I'm learning. I'm learning his teachings for his kingdom, to be a godly man for my family and for him. And I'm nervous, y'all. I've never done this before. I apologize. But as you can see, I got my family up there, so I'm being a godly man and leading them to Christ. And God's good. He's good. The statement, there's fire in prayer, that's an understatement when it comes to me. Thank y'all. God bless.
My name is Quentin Rashad Randolph. I was born in 1980 to two of the most beautifulest people in the world, to me. One of them is a God-fearing man who preaches the gospel, and still till today, he still preaches the gospel. I have a mother who is a prayer warrior, and still till today, she gets up every morning, early in the morning, she go meets other prayer warriors at her church, and they pray for hours and hours at hand. What I'm saying is I'm a preacher's kid. And I know what it's like to go to church on Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and twice on Sundays. But what I will tell you is there came a point in time in my life where I enjoyed going to church until it started getting into my personal things that I liked to do as a kid. And I became rebellious. And I found drugs and I found alcohol. And I lived a dark, dark, dark life. And, you know, going to prison really hurt my family, messing up my relationships with my family, with my brother and my sister. And had kids, messed up relationships with them too. And, you know, these past 5 years of my life have been probably the darkest because, you know, I knew that God was dealing with me, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it. And I've had numerous times of sobriety. I used to lean on a blue book. I won't say the name of it, but I believed in that blue book, and I thought that that blue book was the answer to me being able to live life. And I will stand here today and tell you that it wasn't. I will say that probably about 3.5-4 months ago, I came here to back here to Owensboro, Kentucky, and I got back out there, and there was a time where I just wanted to end it all. Nothing was working. Everybody was mad at me. Kids were mad at me, and I remember just driving a little 10-speed, riding a 10-speed bike that I took out somebody's yard. And I was on my way to the bridge down here in Owensboro, and I was going to jump. And I had already made up my mind. And I took off towards that bridge, and the chain popped. And I was so mad. And so I called my friend, and I told my friend what I was wanting to do. And my friend told me, Quentin, no, call your mother and your father. And I was like, I'm not calling my mother and my father because I knew what my mom and dad was going to tell me, what they've been telling me all my life. Quentin, you need Jesus. I wasn't ready to hear that then. But I do know that when my friend came and got me, my friend took me to my mom and dad's house. And my dad, he spoke of a place called Friends of Sinners. And I had a friend that I grew up with was affiliated with Friends of Sinners. It's my friend Zach. We grew up together. And, just didn't know. I knew I wanted something different. I just knew that I didn't want to go back to church on Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. But I was desperate, and I was willing to do whatever it took. And I remember getting on the website. I still have the email in my phone. I've read it a few times. It gets me every time. And I think I did call and leave a message. And I just left it at that, and I said, God, if this is where you want me to be, I'll do whatever. And then my dad sent me a text message, and he told me to give this man, Tom Galloway, a call. And I gave him a call, and he didn't cut anything with me. He just said, hey, man, are you ready to do something different? He said, can you be here tomorrow? And I said, yes, and I came. And my life has started to change way more than what it's ever changed. And the reason why I say that is because, I came in there and I was put straight into the word, scripture, something that I never picked up before. And I'm learning a lot about Jesus. I'm learning a lot about the stories and how powerful that he is. And one of the things that I can share with you guys is what FOS has given to me that's very, very powerful to me. It means a whole lot. I would have never thought in a million. I would have never thought in a million years that I could go to my dad's house and sit in a room with him and open up a Bible and talk about God. That's what Friends of Sinners has given to me. I enjoy going and sitting with my dad today because I'm blessed to have parents like that that's been serving God for a very, very long time. And I just want to thank Friends of Sinners for all that they've done for me and giving me an opportunity to be able to really learn about God and change my life. And that's all I got.
Good morning. That was awesome, wasn't it? Well, I'm Jared French. I'm 41 years old. I was born here in Owensboro, Kentucky. January 1984. God has blessed me with a sweet wife named Amber and two awesome kids, Nolan and Addison. I was raised by good Christian parents with two older brothers. And by God's grace, my parents and family are here to see me do this today. Middle school, I met a lot of new people, made new friends. Excuse me, a little nervous. But I remember a couple of them talking about smoking weed, cigarettes, and drinking. I remember thinking how crazy that was. I didn't grow up around that. But as a kid, I was in a hurry to grow up. I think more than anything, I wanted independence, and I wanted to do whatever I felt like doing. I saw them as being more mature and cooler than I was, and I wanted to go to the parties where the girls, alcohol, and drugs, and no parents in sight. I felt resentful that my parents weren't like their parents and that I couldn't go to those parties. But I was resourceful. I lied, manipulated my way into an opportunity to try weed and alcohol, and I remember loving how free I felt. I wanted to feel free and relaxed in my own skin all the time. And over the next 20 years, I chased that escape from reality. My sin of using drugs and alcohol has caused a lot of pain for not only myself, but for those who love me. I've lost relationships, jobs. I've lost a house. I've spent time in jail and prison. I've wasted years of my life living as a slave to fear and anxiety and depression. I've worked hard to build up things in my life, only to smash them apart. But the good news that I can share with you today is despite all of that, God still called me to Him. By sending Jesus Christ to suffer and die on the cross for my sins, I've been forgiven. My heart has been changed. God softened my hardened heart. He gave me new purpose. On December 23rd of 2024, I surrendered everything to Jesus Christ. I truly felt a peace inside of me that could only be explained as a gift from God. And no one can snatch me out of His hand. God is creating and restoring relationships for me. In May of this year, God made a way for me to be released from jail and into the care of Friends of Sinners. Every single day there, God shows Himself to me in some type of way. I'm learning how to live a life that's pleasing to God and how to lead my family as a real man is called to do. God has freed me from fear, anxiety, and shame. I'm learning about God's truths and His promises to us through the Bible. Each week we're given a verse to study and memorize. And this week, our memory verse was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And it is, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Thank you, and God bless.
Let's give them another hand. So my name's Jessica Lee. I am the Women's Program Director. Real quick, so I was a client at Friends of Sinners, and I used to come to Pleasant Valley, and I was actually a member here for quite a while. But I met my sponsor here in 2011. So her name's Erica Hill. And the first thing I did when I sat down over here, I was like, I gotta find Erica so I can have my peace when I'm standing up because I don't like talking on stage. But lo and behold, she was sitting right over my shoulder. So when I look over that way, I know Erica's always praying for me no matter what. But so Friends of Sinners is very close to my heart. And how we operate is through the love of the body of the church. If you have ever served at Friends of Sinners, whether that be praying, teaching class, sponsoring, discipling, whatever that looks like, will you please stand up? Lisa. And guys, that's how we operate. If anything, pray. Like I said, Erica's been one of my prayer warriors, and through that, prayer is so strong and it changes so much. It can be a simple, hey, God, I just want to lift up Friends of Sinners this morning. We feel that intercession. Our clients feel that. When they get up here on stage, how many of us want to get up on stage and share one of our biggest sins in our life? And these guys and ladies just did that. So those prayers have gotten them through the days that they didn't think they would be able to get through. So now what we're going to do is we're going to share how you can help, and Jordan is going to do that.
So, Jessica nailed it. You know, there are countless ways that you can get involved or support Friends of Sinners, first and foremost, as she said, pray for us. Pray, but not just pray casually. Intercede for us as we are on the front lines facing addiction and spiritual warfare. Amen. A friend of mine, Karen Shelton, shout out to Karen Shelton. She has been, yeah, praise God for Karen. She has been, and many of you all have been, a part of the letter writing ministry for Friends of Sinners. What is that? Well, you can write a letter to our current clients. And the cool thing about this is it shows our clients that people are rooting for them that are just not a part of the staff. They just, people outside the walls of Friends of Sinners are rooting for them. So if you want to get with Karen Shelton and be a part of the letter writing ministry, that is huge. You can also volunteer. We have 6 staff members and about 30 volunteers. We are able to do what we do through volunteers. Whether that's sit at the facility and answer the phones or help drive a van, get our clients to appointments, we can use you. If you want to mentor a client, disciple a client, sponsor a client, cook a meal, come teach a class, get with myself, Tom, Jessica, any of us staff members, and we can lead you in the right direction. You can also give financially. You guys, we are only able to do what we do through the body of believers. Because to be honest with you, man, the world, they say, just throw a book at them, put them in jail, put them on medicine, and forget about them. But that's not what the body of believers is supposed to do. Link arms with us, donate financially to help us operate. And lastly, you can spread the word. You can advocate for us at your employment. Do you have a corporate job? Can we apply for grants where you work? You know, tell your friends about us. You know, if you know someone who needs help, say, hey, I know about Friends of Sinners. So these are the ways that you can get involved. Thank you for listening to us.
Well, hey, at this time, we are going to conclude this service by praying God's blessing and singing God's blessing upon the FOS family. So I'd like to invite our music team to come out. And if you are part of the FOS community in any form or fashion, we would love the honor at this time just to pray over you and lay hands on you. Would love if you're willing just to come stand down here. Clients, family, staff, anyone affiliated with the ministry at all, and then PVCC members, would a number of you come forward as well? We'd love to have a hand on every shoulder. It's going to be a little bit crowded, probably breaking some fire codes down here, hey, we want to show the love. So what we're going to do is the service is not yet dismissed, so don't leave, but we're going to pray God's blessing upon these men and women and their families. And then, brothers and sisters, if y'all would, after the prayer is over, if you would stay down here, our worship team is going to sing the word of God over you. We want to sing the blessing of God over you. So, PVCC family, would you bow your heads with me at this time? And let's just go before the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you, and God, I pray for every man and woman in this ministry. God, I pray in Jesus' name, your blessing upon them. Lord, for healing of the body, the mind, and the soul. Lord, that they would continue to encounter the sweet grace of Christ. Lord, that the gospel every day would be such good news to their hearts. Lord, I pray against condemnation, against shame, God, against fear. Lord, we pray for the joy of the Holy Spirit, for the hope of Christ. God, for restored families where they have been broken. Lord, for blessings over their children and grandchildren, marriages. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that each of these men and women, God, would know the deep, deep love that you have for them. God, that we are never too far gone, that the blood and the grace of Jesus will chase us down to the prison cell, to the Blue Bridge, and everywhere in between. God, that you will break bicycle chains out of love, that you love us. And you're a savior of sinners. And Lord, we're all sinners. Doesn't matter if our sin is addiction or pride. Lord, we're all sinners. We're all addicted to sin until you change us and you set us free. So, oh God, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice this morning that has not met Christ, oh God, may today be the day they receive Jesus. God, if there's a sinner in this room right now, Lord, that is thinking about ending it all, Lord, they're thinking about driving down to the bridge. Lord, they've all but given up hope. God, may they know that today you still love them and you have not given up on them, and neither will the body of Christ. And that, God, today, if they would just cry out to you and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, you will, and you'll save and you'll give joy and you'll restore. So God, bless this ministry, bless their families, their mamas, their daddies, their grandbabies, their grandparents. Lord Jesus, may they truly feel the love of the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and the body of Christ. So Lord, now as we sing the blessing of God over them, God, would you, in Jesus' name, bless these men and women, we pray. Amen. Would you all remain down here? Let us sing God's blessing upon you.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.